All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're in our ninth in this series on making His provision our practice. Making His provision our practice. Talk about being in the theme of where we're going this morning. This is the book of Ephesians, what Mark shared. 37 times in this small book, the phrase "in Christ" is used. And the whole heart of the apostle, the Father and the Lord, to these sons and daughters in the faith, remember, he's now in a prison, right? He's now in a jail cell in Rome, and he's writing back to his sons and daughters in the faith, and he's telling them, you're absolutely rich in Christ. You're wealthy in the Lord. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. He's your hope of glory. He's everything within you. So live like you have those riches. Don't give up your position, your place. There was a great persecution that was taking place in the early church. People didn't like the preaching of Jesus. This was a city, Ephesus was a city of about 300,000 people, a great mixture of backgrounds, and it was the home of one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Diana was here in this place with all of its glorious columns. Now how many columns stand today in
One
temple column stands today. If you don't build your foundation on the rock, it's going to waver when the storms come. Paul is an apostle. Paul's a father, a shepherd, and he wants to put a foundation under these believers and stir up their most holy faith. He wants to help them stand strong because winds blow, storms come. How many are glad you were here on this coast, not the East Coast a couple of weeks ago? Our hearts go out to those folks. Be with them, Lord. The church was probably birthed in Ephesus by Aquila and Priscilla. Paul lived there for nearly 3 years. And now he's writing back to these people to help them stand strong. Remember in the book of Philippians, we learned a Greek word that's actually a Latin word. It's called sinceris. Remember what happened? The Romans came in. They were a brutal people. They overran the Greeks. All of their artistry was broken and shattered, and potteries and busts and everything broken to pieces. And as the Roman colony was set up and established, they were fiercely Roman, but they began to value the artwork, and so they began to try to put it back together. And artisans who were not honest would put together these shattered pieces and then fill in the holes with what?
Wax.
And so these guys would pay top dollar for these statues, these busts. They would take them home, put them in their garden. The next hot day, guess what happened? Wax began to run. And they couldn't get their money back. So true artisans began to stamp their work with the word sinceris, meaning no wax. Look at each other, say, don't have any wax in your life. Be a sincere Christian. Sincerus. Be real. Be the real deal. Then there was another thing. In the early church, the Greek word, teletestai. Come on, say it with me. You've heard it. Teletestai. They would pay for something at the market, and they would have a bill of procedure that would take place, and across it they would write the word teletestai. And it meant paid in full. Same word. Different use. Somebody would go to jail for his crimes after he paid his crimes, but next to his cell while he was there, there was a list of these crimes. They were written on and what he had done and what he was serving time for. When his time was up, they would scratch out that list of crimes and write the word sinceris, which meant sentence served. I'm sorry. Yeah. They wrote teletestai. Sorry. I'm being sincere, but... It was a test, and I blew that one. All right, so teletestai, thank you. You just keep me on my toes, y'all. All right, so sentence served. So you got paid in full, you got sentence served. And then there was a third use. And remember what it was? A marching general who's conquered in the military action comes in with his people in front of us, and in front of him, and he's yelling out, what? Thank you. Mission accomplished. Paid in full, sentence served, mission accomplished. And the very last words of Jesus on the cross, the word was, teletestai, it is. And so Paul says, he's done his work. Mark, just what you were saying. He's done it. It's happened. It took place at the cross of Calvary and dead, buried, and risen again. Now this is released to you in the body of Christ. It's time for you to walk in the provision that He has given. Make His provision your practice. And we go on. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we were talking in chapter 3, the first part of chapter 3. Paul is effusive. He's going on and on about the glorious thing that God has done. Nobody had ever seen anything like this. The prophets of old couldn't imagine it. The apostles and the New Testament prophets were seeing what God had stored up for all the ages, and all of a sudden it's released to everybody. And what is it? You're no longer Jew. You're no longer Gentile. You come to Jesus and you're one new man in Him called Christian. And the power of that position, the beauty, the fullness of that place. Paul, there are more run-on sentences in the book of Ephesus than in any of his other books. And it's all because Paul's so excited. You know, have you ever had that where you're so excited, you're telling things to people and Paul walks out on you? Have you ever seen that happen before? Sorry. Sorry. Just teasing you, Paula. Anyway, so what happens? Have you ever been so excited that you interrupt yourself and you go, and then I'll get back to that. Don't worry. But this happened, and that's how Paul's spirit is in the book of Ephesians. He says, I bow my knees to the Father. Oh, now let me tell you about this. And then 14 verses later, he gets back to what he's bowing his knee to the Father for. That's how this starts. Let's go to verse 14, chapter 3. Verse 14. For this reason, referring back to verse 1 of chapter 3, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And what he is saying is, for this reason, the miracle thing that he's done, just like in the book of Acts, and you see the church in Antioch, where there's Jew and Gentile, they're worshiping God together, and it didn't matter what the background was. Red, yellow, black, white, all are what? Precious in His sight. And everybody gets to know Him and worship Him, because you're a new man. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What a power. What a miracle. They all now are one family living the gospel together. So, Paul goes on to pray for his son and daughters in the faith. So, what's his prayer? It's a powerful section of Scripture. Now I'm on verse 16. Number one, some points this morning. Number one, be strengthened with might. Say that with me. Be strengthened with might. Verse 16. Here's my prayer, that He, Jesus, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be, say it with me please, strengthened with might. Say it and raise your hands like you're flexing your muscles. Strengthened with might. Strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. There it is. According to the riches of His glory. According to, literally in the Greek, the word is plutos. Say it with me. Plutos. And it means His great wealth. According to His great wealth. According to His abundance. According to the riches of Jesus. You are literally rich in Christ. God is rich. How many know God owns everything? He's in charge. Turn to each other and say, God is in charge. So quit fighting Him. All right? He's got all His riches. What does He spend it on? More toys? He spends it on His family. On His sons. His daughters in the faith. On you. And me. Strengthen. What's that Greek word? That's kratayaho. Kratayaho, and it means to empower, to increase your vigor. It's like you can see 40 exclamation points in this section from Paul. God wants to strengthen you, put vigor inside. He's got rebar inside. He's got great things inside of you. You can just see Him. Wow, guys, I want you to get this. Don't you wish I'd just become a little excited? Turn to each other. Wave your hands. Come on. I want you to get this. We're a demonstrative church. It's okay. Strengthened with might. Vigor inside with might. And the Greek word might is dunamis. You've heard that word over and over again. What is dunamis? Power. Sounds an awful lot like dynamite. Dynamic. Dynamite. Dynamic power. Strengthened with dynamic power in your inner man. Inside of you. Paul's saying, I want you to realize you've got life inside. Vibrant power inside of you. And we walk around, just like our brother said this morning, we walk around gloomy and doomy. Not when you realize who's inside. Paul's writing from a prison cell. He says, look, you can't keep a good man down. You got to know who's inside of you and live that life. Now, spiritual power, dynamic power, how? How does he put this power and this might inside? Number two, through his what? Come on, boom it out. Through his Spirit. Remember Paul's first contact with the Ephesians? If you'll turn to Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 19, remember Paul's an apostle. He's a foundation layer. He's looking to build the church of Jesus so it's made strong to endure. There's persecution, there's struggle, there's difficulties going on. They're fighting to live the life of Jesus in the midst of a time when the government wasn't friendly to the church. Gee, it sounds fairly similar to today. Although we're blessed in this country, aren't we? We are blessed in this country to have this freedom. Thank God. Thank you, all of you first responders, military men and women. Thank God for our military sons and daughters around the earth. And we've got a lot of freedom to be able to stand up. Thank God for the forefathers of our country who had the vision to birth country, our country, with this freedom. And we need to do everything we can to maintain it, but we're not going to be gloomy. We're not going to be doomy. We're going to rejoice in the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Amen. We got a big job, church. How many know that the light is lighter when the dark is darker? Yeah. Keep shining your light. All right, Acts 19. How did he first find these Ephesians? Watch. Verses 1 through 6. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Acts 19, verses 1 through 6. Acts 19, verses 1 through 6. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came where? Came to Ephesus, finding some what? Finding some what? Disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you what?
Believe.
I'm sorry, that word is what?
Believe.
So they're disciples, and we know they believed. They said to them, we haven't even heard of whether there is a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about, Paul? And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they responded. You think they were a tough audience? No, they were looking to grow in God, weren't they? How many come to church dedicated to growing in God when you come? I want to grow, Lord. Open my ears. Let my heart respond to you. Let my eyes see your word. Oh, God, I want to go to church this morning. I want to contribute. I want to give. And I want to grow. Come on, say it with me. I want to contribute. I want to give. I want to grow. Say it with me one more time. I want to contribute. I want to give. I want to grow. Now, remember when Daniel was about, about Sam's age. He had lots of spiritual rebar inside of him when he went into Babylon, and he stood strong in Babylonian captivity. Church, we got to realize we're living in an anti-Jesus culture, and we need to stand strong with the Spirit of God alive in us so we come to church not as some casual thing we do, but because it's opportunity to grow, opportunity to encourage, opportunity to contribute, to give, and to grow. One more time, to contribute, to give, and to grow. Is that how you came here this morning? Oh, God, I want to grow. I want to give. I want to contribute. So, they were hungry to respond to something they didn't know much about. They didn't say, oh, no, that's not God. They didn't say, oh, no, God wouldn't do that for me. They said, hey, there's something else. I want it. Come on, church. Say it with me. There's something else. I want it. You sure? Okay. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. Paul wanted them to continue to stir up the miraculous power and the gifts of God. They were disciples. They were believers. What did you receive when you believed? They didn't know about water baptism in the name of Jesus for circumcision of heart. They didn't know it releases supernatural power in their life. They didn't understand about the rushing mighty wind that came upon the church in Acts and the Holy Spirit being released in life. They didn't know that every believer can be repenting, being baptized, receiving the Holy Ghost. Remember? Book of Acts. What must we do to be saved? Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. They didn't know they could do that. The resulting sign, in most occasions, of receiving this miracle from God, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Over and over again. You go to other places in Scripture. Acts chapter 8, there's a great revival that takes place in Samaria. And the apostles in Jerusalem send someone special down to them to lay hands on them. They were having fantastic revival, people getting saved, throwing away their magic books, their idols. They were radically transformed. But the Bible says they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit had to be there. Of course He was. But there's more. Come on, someone say, there's more.
There's more.
You can receive the more. How many want the more in God? Building your faith is a program, if you don't know anything about it, that I urge you to take. I don't care if you've been saved for 40 years. It's a foundational program that will help you grow in God. I promise you, if you'll give your heart to studying the Scriptures in a fresh way, God will strengthen the spiritual rebar of your life. How many want to be strong? I urge you to take building your faith. Now, the gifts of the Spirit. We had an example this morning. In the corporate setting, there are two kinds of speaking in tongues that can take place. When everything dies down and gets quiet, and out comes a message in tongues, a gift of the Spirit that is expressed just like prophecy, the Bible says that must be interpreted in order for edification of the saints to take place. And if there wasn't another interpretation present, the person who brings the gift needs to pray God gives them the interpretation. You saw a very biblical example of that this morning. Jeannie prophesied by speaking in tongues, and then Jeannie brought the interpretation. She gave it a few moments. Another interpreter didn't step in, so she interpreted. Very biblical. You had prophecies take place. You had the song of the Lord take place. You had another song take place. You had an exhortation take place. How many are understanding? That's the Spirit of God in action.
Amen.
Speaking to His church. So good obedience. Good obedience. Now, there's a private, personal prayer language that God gives each person who wants it, who's willing to receive it, as a resulting sign of having received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not the only sign. It's the most common sign. It's very biblical. And when we all gather together in worship, you go to the book of Revelations, and it says the sound was like the sound of a rushing, mighty waterfall, a river, a fantastic, majestic sound. They were worshiping. You find falling prostrate before the Lord. You find raising hands. You find kneeling down. You find all of these things we do in worship all in the Bible. How many want to do what the Bible says?
Yes.
How many believe that this Bible is still intact?
Yes.
You didn't, in the New Testament, you don't rip out page 50 through page 600 and say, that's not for me today. No, the Bible says it's in there, it's in there. Okay, Lord, we don't force anybody. We welcome, invite, God commands, but we invite, we're nicer. But there's response that you can receive from God. It's all in the Scripture. What we're talking about is what does the Bible say? How does God put strength inside? Might in the inner man. Dunamis through the Spirit of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. The Spirit of the Lord is absolutely vital and crucial in our life. I grew up going to church, you guys. I grew up going to church, couldn't stand going to church. And when I radically got saved at 16 and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, my whole life changed. And you're looking at me going, yeah, we know, you're crazy. The Holy Spirit changed me. Gave me staying power. That's what the Holy Spirit does for our life. Keeping power. Now this morning, if you want a free release in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues, we're going to be right here and praying for you. We're going to enjoy praying for you. And we're going to see miracles happen this morning. God will baptize you in the Spirit. I have seen it thousands of times. Over and over and over again. God is not going to exclude you. Now, there may be something you need to repent from, maybe something you need to renounce. Whatever it is, we'll help you. But God will do what He says He'll do. All right, so through His Spirit. Number three, rooted and grounded in faith. Verse 17. Rooted and grounded in, you could say, the faith. Rooted and grounded in love, also the Bible says. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in our hearts or your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, rooted. Rooted is a Greek word that is common for our understanding. Roots that go down, just like trees, agriculture. You have roots that go down. You put your roots down in the soil of God's presence in His church. You're not a wanderer rolling from church to church. You know what they call rolling bushes that just roll around? What are they called?
Tumbleweed.
How much fruit do you expect from a tumbleweed? How many churches can you build based on tumbleweeds? You take a look in the New Testament church. You take a look. If you gave your life to Jesus, you are identified in the body of Christ. Yes, there's the corporate body, but there's a group of people that you can stand shoulder to shoulder with who will strengthen you in the Lord. It's not just have gift, will travel. See now, it's only our generation and above that understand that analogy, right? Kids going, what's he talking about? Well, you understand who Paladin was. Right along with Gunsmoke and Bonanza. And, you know. Clearly, Kevin had ADD and got distracted there. Rooted. You look in the New Testament. Now, you can say, Kevin, get off my case. I'm not in anybody's case. I'm just saying what the Scripture says. The whole concept of being a Christian in the New Testament is let those roots go down. Because when they go down, you're not going to get blown over in a storm. Let the roots go down. They reach for the depths and for the water, no matter how bad the storm. Now, the other word, what does it say? Grounded. Rooted is the agricultural word of the roots going down. Grounded is a building term. And it meant building, being established on the rock, being established on a strong foundation, on the apostles' doctrine, on the foundation of Jesus, being built solidly in the body of Christ, understanding you're a part of the church and a part of the local expression of God's church. Hurricane-proof your life.
Amen.
Come on, somebody say it. Amen, right? Hurricane-proof your life. Rooted. Grounded. Now watch. Now just hang in there with me. I want to ask you an honest question. Can everybody know the love of God?
Yes.
You better believe it. Say it with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God is available to everyone, but I want you to see something in the Scripture. If you want to know the depth of what that is all about, the Scripture says it's linked to you being rooted and grounded in the faith. You want the second part? You got to do the first part. Jump into Jesus, jump into His church, into His family. Then you get the next benefit, the next part. How many want the bennies? So if you want the bennies, you get a buy-in. the immeasurable love of Jesus. Watch, verse 18. Paul is saying, verse 17, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Say it with me. Would you, church? Is beautiful. What is the width and length and depth and height? Verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you see Paul in a jail cell thinking of these sons and daughters in the faith? He says, I want you to have it all. I want you to walk in all of this. I want you to get it and walk in it, receive it, love Him, and know how much He's given to you. Jump in the river of God. Jump in the river of God. Jump into the family of God. You're not alone. The Bible says He sets the solitary in families. Oh, I don't need the church. The Bible says different. The Bible says you do. The Bible says you need to be a candle, put in a candlestick. The Bible says you need the family of God. I just wander around the whole body of Christ and bless everybody. Really? I hope they think that. Don't be a tumbleweed. Let roots go down. You look in the Scripture. What did they do? You take a look in the book of Acts. You take a look at how the New Testament church lived. They broke bread from house to house. They taught. They learned the Word of God. They loved the Word of God. They broke the bread of life and natural bread together constantly. They were in the presence of God. Becoming a Christian was a total risk to their lives. Church, are you willing to be one if it becomes the same kind of risk again? What if things don't always go well for the body of Christ in America? The USA has been like a bunch of pampered children. We're like the little kids at Christmas time who you give them a ton of gifts and they rip their way through the gifts. And instead of being happy with all they got, they look up and they go, where are the rest? Aren't there more? And we're like that in America. Come on, amen or oh no. You know what we want in America? We want to come to church. Give me a happy message for my happy feet and keep it short so I have happy buns and go home and watch my happy game. Tell me, church, what does that have to do with the call of Christ and the claim of Jesus in your life? Come on, this is as much an ouch experience for me as it is for you. We're in it together. Church, we got a big job to do. Jesus wants us to have spiritual rebar inside to stand strong with the body of Christ. Amen. See the heart of Jesus in the Word of God. Paul is saying, you're rich in Jesus. Teletestai. Price paid. Sent and served. Mission accomplished. You've got a big job to do it. And the Scripture says you need my Spirit and my love to do it. And what does He want us to discover as we do it? The great, fantastic, you can't even measure it, it's so fantastic, the love of God. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
Have you, like me, prayed for a bunch of stuff that hasn't happened?
Absolutely.
Can we be honest? Sometimes I will confess, I still have those things that I'm holding before the Lord. But some of the stuff, stupid stuff I've prayed for, I thank God He loved me enough not to answer. Lord, just 1 billion, that's all I need. He's looking at me going, I don't think I could trust you with 1 billion. You just buy cowboy boots, I know that of you. Or motorcycles. Now, you know, the Lord sometimes will say no to some of the stuff, but He'll always say yes to His presence. And sometimes it's the unanswered prayers that drive us to our knees so we become richer in His presence. How fantastic is the love of God? How fantastic is it to know you're loved this morning? Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
And you know what the word is here? It says, I want you to comprehend. Now that word, that Greek word right there, is not the way it looks. That word comprehend sounds like, I want you to sit down and understand it and get a good head knowledge about how big the love of God is. You know what that word means? To seize it. It's not comprehend that way. It's I want you to grasp and comprehend. I want you to seize it, to eagerly seize it. I want you to possess it. I want you to get this deep in your life. This is the most important thing, no matter what. Get this. What? The love of God. Go crazy for the love of God. How wide, how long, how profound. The Greek literally means it extends beyond the sky. Toy Story, to infinity and beyond. Listen, how many guys in this room? Girls, too. How many like ice cream? Come on, I know you. Be real with me. Okay. If somebody said to you, here's your one bowl, one bowl. Have as much as you want. You'd jam and cram, unless you're trying to be polite. You didn't have to worry about being polite. You jam and cram that thing at home in your own house when nobody's looking. If you don't just skip straight to the tub and eat it out of the tub, you cram and jam that thing, bowl. No limit. We're little oinkers. But are we the same in the Spirit? Garbage cans. Two per week, if you pay for it. Two per week costs you a certain amount. Well, I don't want to pay that much, so I'm going to cram one can really full. And then they get you because that's too heavy of a can. Filled with all the fullness of God, and a beggar sat at the side of the gate and said, give. And Peter, so full of the love of God and the Spirit of God, said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I know what I got. I've got Jesus. And I've got His Spirit inside. And that's what's most important in life. It's not the trinkets. It's not the stuff. I've got Jesus. How about you? What I have, give I thee. Look all around you. In Port Ludlow. In all of these ports in the storm. In all of these places. People desperately living in a dark, dying world need us to shine brightly with the love of the Spirit of God, to be walking around with confidence and our head up, to understand we got a big job and we can do everything God's called us to do. And we too can say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Last week I spoke on taking your opportunity, if you recall. I met with somebody after church, and the Spirit of God was ringing in my hearing, saying, you're going to take your opportunity? So I said yes, and led that person to Jesus. And I pray now, and I gave the person instruction on follow-up, but we need to take our opportunities. How full the Father's heart is. How big it is. How great is His love. How do you... I spent last night in Tacoma with my three sons. Had a fantastic time with them. How do you comprehend a dad who loves everybody else so much that he gave his son to die? How do you comprehend a son who loves his dad so much that he says yes? It's not what I want, Dad. It's what you want that's important. How do you... You can spend and we'll spend all of our lives discovering the love of God. When you do this and you understand as big as love is, and we're going to come to a close here any day now, he does good things for his kids. He does all things for his kids. Now, dads are supposed to be like Jesus in the family. That's why fatherless homes create such heartache. The family is supposed to be the picture of God and his church and his family. And the church gives us all a family to belong to, where you can listen to his heart, you can come in, you can be established, you can be supported, you can get rooted and grounded and filled with his spirit and enjoy hanging around and knowing how much he loves you and how big his love is, and then you go out built up to give him away. He answers us and meets our need, and then something happens as we find that happening. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, please say it with me, above all that we ask or think, according to the power. He does above and beyond all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Not just a little, the Greek word, and the word here is exceedingly above. The Greek word is hooper, and it means way over and above. He enjoys surprising you and me with his grace, with his presence. Even, again, when it's not always the thing you want, he gives you his presence. He likes being with his kids. Families used to be families together, especially at Sunday meal, and now you got a hog time to turn off the phones and the computers so you can have a meal time together for communication. Turn off the TV and be together. God loves to be in his house with his people. And he does it all by his power, the dynamite power of the Spirit inside. And when you respond to him, dad gets more praise. The verse says, to him be glory in the where?
Church.
Who's the church?
Yes.
To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I see all generations. I see kids and young families and older people and grandparents and grandkids worshiping Jesus together. He's crammed you full of himself. He's put himself, his spirit inside. Paul is, he's just so excited. He says, I want you to get this, you guys. How great is his love. I'm going to tell you one story. Close. I told this story to some people yesterday. It just still lives in my heart. Long, 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 long time ago, Gail and I went to a pastor's conference with Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry in California, Apple Valley, California, where Roy Rogers lived. It was a fantastic conference, and I was a young buck, you know, preacher's itch. Let me run. You know, I like the guy in the scripture. Let me run. And the king says, you ain't got a message yet. Oh, I want to run. And you know, everybody was getting together. I think Pastor Carl had a senior pastor's meeting to go to. Well, that sounded good. I wanted to be there. I couldn't be there. So Pastor Sherry and my wife and I were fending for ourselves for lunch, and we got behind in line. I know you can't imagine that ever happening. We got behind in line, and go in this restaurant, and all of these places they were packed. So you had to share a booth with somebody, and to my shame, all the big shots were taken.
Yeah.
But God. And there was this 80-year-old sweet lady. And there was one place to sit. So we all sit down, and I think Pastor Sherry and Gail are going to have a great time. I'm going to tune out. This is not where I want to be. Until she opened her mouth and she began to talk. And my life changed forever. And with these precious eyes glistening with tears, she regaled us by simply sharing her story, which went like this. With every day that goes by, with everything that happens, no matter how old I get, I am so enamored with Jesus. And it was like we were sitting at the feet of Jesus. We were sitting with an angel as she poured out the Spirit of the Lord. And I repented of my cruddy attitude. And I said, oh God, with everything that's within me, I just want to know you more, and I want to love you more, and I want to run after you harder, and I want to know your presence. And when I screw up, I thank God for your grace and your mercy in my life. But I must tell you, these many, 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 many years later, I will say the same thing. I am still so enamored with Jesus. He is everything to me. Do I always live it? No. But I love him more today than I did yesterday. I love him more than before the election. The only thing I got left after the election is his love. No, kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Doesn't matter if it's D or R. It matters if it's J-E-S-U-S. Listen, church. If something happened to me today, I would pray to God that when I saw him face to face, I could say, Lord, I did what I could do. I shared what I could share. I gave it what I had because you are more than everything. A limitless love. A love beyond measure. That's what you find in Jesus. You stand, please. Lord, we thank you that you are so precious to us. You're bigger than we understand. You do more than we know, and we're just so thankful that you do. We don't always get life, but we know that you've got us, and you're most important of all. I'm enamored with you, Jesus. We're in love with you because you first loved us, and you proved it over and over again. I pray for my friends today that together we'll run after you. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we'll understand the length, the depth, the width, and whatever other dimensions are left, the height, thank you, of Jesus and your love. Now bless my friends today, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and the Lord has spoken to your heart, this altar area will be open for you to come. You come. If you need prayer for healing, you come. If you want prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God to move dramatically in your life because that's what he loves to do. The Bible says in the book of John, he says, if a son asks for a father for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead? Will he give him an eel? Will he give him, you know, whatever else? Will he give him a rock? No, we know how to give gifts to our children. He says, if you then, being evil compared to God, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? So we're going to believe God to do some great things here this morning. So don't just roar with a party afterwards. You stay in prayer for us, for those who come up front, because we're going to believe God to do some great things. Have a great time fellowshipping, but just keep us in prayer as we're praying up here. And you come on up and join us if you desire. The Lord loves you. Come on, say it with me. The Lord loves me. The Lord loves me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. God bless you. Be released in the Lord.